Monday, 7 December 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning in to this broadcast. The Calvary Hour is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church, which is located in New Bern, North Carolina, and I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. Hope you've had a wonderful Lord's Day, a wonderful weekend past, and now we have an opportunity to be off to a new start for another week. We're in Isaiah chapter 58, and we're looking at these four great needs that were faced in Isaiah's day, that are faced in our day, and may God use this scripture to stir our heart so that we would be faithful to Him and that He may accomplish His divine purposes through our lives. Father, do bless us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, use us for thine and thy glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12, we read this, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Here were four great needs. Now remember when this scripture was written, Isaiah. By the way, always when you're reading scripture, you want to read it in its right context. Isaiah was prophesying, just like Jeremiah, just before Israel and Judah would go into captivity. They saw the decline of a nation. They saw the spiritual decline, the moral decline. The nation was just simply in decline. And God raised up these great men to preach His precious word. And though they were not heeded, so many people would not listen, yet they knew that a prophet had been among them because God had sent His word with His power. But there were these great needs and the promises of God. If the folks would turn back to Him and would serve Him as they should, God said, "You'll rebuild the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." We're going to be looking, first of all, we're not just skipping over the first one because it's unimportant. No, it summarizes basically all the rest. The land was beginning to lay waste. That which had been so beautiful and so fruitful was now laying waste. And God was calling on His people to turn back to Him that He might use them to build up the old waste places and then to raise up the foundations of many generations. I told our folks at the Calvary Baptist Church some time back when we were preaching from this text there at Calvary, I believe this is one of the most needed portions of Scripture, one of the most important portions of Scripture I've ever had the opportunity to preach. You think about raising up the foundations for many generations. We're going to see that there's only one real foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we have a tremendous example of this recorded in the Old Testament. A great example was when God called Ezra and his people to go back out of captivity and to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed there in Jerusalem. And Ezra and a number of people, you remember, responded, and they went back to rebuild the wall. Well, you can be assured of this, that as soon as Ezra and those people returned back to the land and were there to rebuild the temple of God, the adversaries were going to show their ugly heads. And by the way, that's nothing new. It always has been, always will be. The devil and his crowd are always going to resist spiritual work. And that's especially true in this world. You try to do something today spiritual. I have prayer in school or someplace in the ACLU or some other group will be trying to bring you to court. Now, back in those days, it was not called ACLU, but I'm sure that men like Tobiah and Sanballat and Geshem the Arabian, that crowd, they would have been the prime proponents of the ACLU of their day. or any other group that stands up against God and against righteousness. So they began to oppose the work of God. Well, the temple was being rebuilt and things were going well. And they write a letter over to the king over in Babylon. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but they make it clear to the king that this work is going on. The temple is being rebuilt. And that if this temple is rebuilt, he's going to lose some tax money, because this temple used to represent a people that was strong and taxes was paid to them. Now, I have jumped over a lot of scripture in a hurry. I realize that. But if you want to get a king's attention or any politician's attention, you don't talk to them about morals. You talk to them about money. And if they think they're going to be losing some money, an opportunity to control money, you can be assured you'll have their attention in a hurry. Well, now remember, the king that was reigning at the time they wrote this letter was not the one, Cyrus, who had given the original decree under the command of God that the temple be rebuilt. So when he read this letter, and man, it says right here, if we let these people build this temple, they're not going to pay us taxes. And so you send the letter back over to Jerusalem, tell them to stop and let them enforce that. You tell Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and that crowd that they have the authority to stop this work from being carried out. Well, you can be assured when that letter arrived, they were not slow to get over to the temple to make them stop. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24, now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them cease by force and by power. They said, we have got a government decree that you're going to stop building this temple. And dear friend, if you have a marginal reference like I do, it tells us that in the Chaldean, this means in by arm and by power. In other words, they brought in the government, they brought the guns in, so to speak, and they said, you're going to stop rebuilding this temple, and the government is going to force you to stop it. Man, I'm telling you, you're talking about some parallels. We're close to this in our country today. The Bible says in verse 24, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of Darius, the king of Persia. Well, it looked like the enemies of God, in this case, the one that was carrying this out was named Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions. It looked like they had been victorious, just like today. You know, you see people that are taken to court for reading the Bible in school or praying in school or at some athletic event. And it looked like for a while, well, it looked like this crowd's going to be victorious. But dear friend, let's not forget, there's a God in heaven who sees all of this. And he has decreed, dear friend, that we're to pray in everything, and everything we're to give thanksgiving unto God. And these who are willing to stand for him, we might be hindered for just a little while, but I want to assure you this, this ain't not over with. It's not even close to being over with as far as the final results are concerned. God said he gave his word, great was the company of those that published it, and he said it will not return unto him void. Well, can't you see the smugness of the crowd, the Antichrist, anti-God crowd, as they said, well, they won't be building that temple anymore, I'll assure you that. We've got word from over in Babylon. We've got the papers right here. Now, they had papers, and I wish I had time to develop this, but their papers were built on false law because Cyrus had decreed that that temple be rebuilt. And in the United States of America, we have the Word of God, and we have a constitution that declares that we have inalienable rights to life and liberty and to the pursuit of happiness. And in our amendments, it's declared that we are to have the liberty to speak and to worship and to serve God, and that the government cannot set up a government religion, but they cannot stop us from worshiping the living God. Well, dear friend, we're going to continue this, God willing, on next broadcast. I hope you can join us. In the meantime, I trust our Lord will be pleased to use us today for His honor and glory. Please remember us in prayer and join us next broadcast if you can.